Ow!
Those uncomfortable things we do for beauty.
Oof. Ouch.
And when it comes to whiter teeth, same story. Until now. Enjoy rinse-free whitening with new Sensodyne Clinical White. You'll get clinically proven whitening technology in an enamel-safe formula for two shades whiter teeth and 24/7 sensitivity protection. Sensodyne Clinical White. A whiter smile without the wince.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Turkey, ducky. As a wise man once said, am I right?
Freddie Key.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to ENN.
On TV.
On this Friday, February the 4th, ENN is brought to you by DoorDash. Download the DoorDash app now and start exploring some of the best New York has to offer. DoorDash. Get more from your neighborhood. Believe I'll be DoorDashing some delicious sushi tonight.
Nice.
Believe that's the play. I have a new sushi place. Pretty exciting. What's going on over here? I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Kidru would make you bleed.
I'd like to say good evening to Don.
Whoa. Please leave a message.
Oh, come on. You just called.
I'd like to say good evening to Mrs. LaGreca.
Huh?
Also to Michael again.
I'm a big fan of Wes McCauley. He's always
Who
got
isn't?
These...
And one last time to Michael.
They can rip your face off, too, monkeys.
We covered a lot today.
A lot.
There's so many different things that have been covered on this program.
By the way, Don, happy birthday to LT.
That's right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not LaDainian, Lawrence.
That means you know what we need to do, Michael.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, we got to go back in time, all the way back.
One of the great conversations on the show.
Well, not only one of the great conversations on this show, but one of the great interview moments in the history of journalism. When Don LaGreca sat down on the phone with the great Lawrence Taylor.
All right, fine, Don. Have 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow, it's hard to believe he's 63.
No, it's doing real well.
You make it seem like it's so easy to respond to something like that.
That's how you should have responded to him.
Eh?
All right, fine, Don. Have 7 years.
The true villain in all this was John Winthrop.
Why is that?
Because that whole thing aired. Nobody bothered to edit.
well, how could he get rid of the intro of the interview? You, if I recall, Andrew, I don't know if you see the full one there, but if I recall, you welcome him on the show, and that's how he starts. So I don't know what you. It's a tough cut.
No, it was pre-recorded. Well, so we could have figured something out.
But then we wouldn't have your big response, which is doing.
No, we're well.
I was doing a show with Paul DiTino.
Okay.
At our transmitter, off an exit Route 3, before the Giants Panther playoff game.
Big
Would
game.
It have been that awful? As I'm sitting at the side of the road with Paul DiTino to say, earlier this week I caught up with Lawrence Taylor. And by the way, the first question was. So what do you think of this Giants team? I don't know, Don. Haven't watched much this year. All aired.
So,
we really didn't know what we were doing back in the day.
All right, fine, Don. Have 7 years.
Fine, Don.
We're well. Now tell me, how much of the Giants have you been able to watch this year?
Actually, I don't watch a whole lot. I've seen them several times.
Yeah. So
what a great pull for a guest.
Yeah, really. Listen, we're... Michael,
I don't know how he got here.
The radio gods gave birth to this radio station, and the labor took about 10 years.
Happy birthday, LT. I'm sorry, I'm going to get into the news right here, but I do want to hear that one more time from the top, because as part of the show, we talk about this moment all the time.
Yeah.
But, Michael, realistically, we only hear the full thing every few years. So
it's
let's
very
just,
special, yeah.
Yeah, so it's LT's birthday. Let's just hear that whole beginning to the interview one more time. Uninterrupted.
LT, it's Don LaGreca. How are you?
All right, fine, Don. How's it happening to you?
No, it's doing real well. Now, tell me, how much of the Giants have you been able to watch this year?
Actually, I don't watch a whole lot. I've seen them several times.
See, I find that Don's reply is more gibberishy than Taylor's.
LT's.
Yeah.
Oh, give me a break.
Doing real well.
What are you doing real well about? You don't even know what he said.
I was guessing.
But you could have been way off. He could have said something objectionable, and he said, doing real well.
Saying, Mike, at least I tried an attempt to say something in English.
Let's hear Don one more time, Anthony.
No, it's doing real well.
What's doing real well? No, it's doing real well.
Yeah, because he said he – I know
all
he
right,
didn't say
– All right, fine, Don. How's
that? He said happy talking to you. He didn't
no,
say
did
how
– he didn't
Yeah,
say.
He did.
No, he didn't.
He said, hey, Don.
Fondon, what you put on cakes.
He said, Fondon's happy talking to you. One more time. Listen to it, Anthony. He says, happy talking to you. Listen.
All right, Fondon. Happy talking to you.
No.
Yeah, happy talking to you.
No.
That's what's so great. This is why this is such a gem. So many people think they got it, and then we stomp on them the second we play it again. No.
I can't believe. Have we ever tried slowing it down?
It's really indecipherable at any speed.
All right.
No,
let's,
it's doing real well.
Let's talk about
that. That's what gets me. No, it's really it's doing real well.
Well, and again, this is all pre-recorded, so I thought all this was going to end up on the editing room floor. And it all made the air, all of it.
Couple of huge local basketball stories to start with.
Tell
today.
Us about them.
Please.
Well, tough guy.
We'll start with the Knickerbockers. Brian Windhorst, a.k.a. Windhorst in Space, was doing his – he was on the Hoop Collective podcast.
Windhorst in Space!
And he said the Knicks are definitively interested in De'Aaron Fox.
The Knicks have shown some interest in De'Aaron Fox. The player that makes the most sense in that swap would be Julius Randle. I've run hot and cold on De'Aaron. I like him. I like him as a guy. I like his mentality. And I think, you know, if you could get him, he's under contract. I'm not sure he really changes that much in that trade for the Knicks, but it certainly alleviates a deteriorating issue with in New York with Julius Randle, both his relationship with Tibbs and his relationship with the fans.
That's the part got me. Well, what's the deal with his relationship with Tibbs?
Yeah, first I'm hearing of this.
All Tibbs does is let him play and dribble the ball and handle the ball constantly. Why would he dislike Tibbs? Maybe Tibbs doesn't like him.
He's so plugged in that there must be a story. We're going to hear something soon.
I guess it tells you that Randle doesn't do a lot as a big, considering they'd be trading him straight up for a point guard.
Well, they've got other people in Randle's position. They need a point guard.
So this – we'll see. We'll see. For those wondering, De'Aaron Fox, it is his fifth year in the league. He's averaging 21 points and 5 assists this season.
Give me some De'Aaron Fox. There's no way the Kings would trade him for Julius Randle. I just don't see it.
Why do you think that Windhorst in Space doesn't think that's a notable change for the Knicks? Like, he doesn't think that's a needle mover.
I don't know. Maybe he's at sea on this one. But the bottom line is De'Aaron Fox gives them what they need, and you subtract Randle, who's been a negative this year, and then you could play Obi Toppin more, you could play Cam Reddish more, you could move people around, rotation changes.
It actually could change the look of the team quite a bit.
Of course.
It may be a gamble, but you have no idea what you're going to get.
Well, you need the gamble, Peter. I mean, they're so bad right now, they're not going anywhere.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, there is another situation that is unfolding in New York when it comes to basketball, and that is the Philadelphia 76ers' reported interest in one James Jim Harden. We had heard as recently as last week that the Nets were not interested in talking about a deal for James Harden and Ben Simmons, but now the word is that Philadelphia is exploring and the Nets are open to the possibility.
I think they've seen the way that – if you want to see the way Harden has played lately, guys, check out how Harden played at the end in Houston. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. His hamstring hurts. His hand hurts. 4 points on a 2-for-11 game against Sacramento. He's done it before. It's certainly not his proudest line on his resume, how he got out of Houston.
And
now it looks like he's employing at work, getting out of Houston. It looks like he's trying the same thing with Brooklyn.
Well, over the last five, here's what you have. 2 weeks ago, he scored 37 in a win against San Antonio. Since then, of course, all losses for the Nets. But he had 13 against Minnesota, 33 against the Lakers, 22 against Phoenix, and 4 against Sacramento.
Now, I think the rule changes have hurt him because they allow him to get banged around a lot more than he used to. He doesn't get to the foul line as much. But you could see he's disenchanted. He doesn't like the whole Kyrie thing. He said that. So, you know, the Kyrie situation makes this a mishmash. I don't know how you build a team. Starting with tonight, it's a stretch of 8 games, 7 of them away from Brooklyn. Or in Brooklyn. So that means he doesn't play. Kyrie Irving doesn't play. So if you're James Harden, there's no James Harden tonight in Utah, right? You'll have Kyrie. No Kevin Durant. Then when they get back home, there's still no Kevin Durant. So it's going to be no Kyrie, and it's just going to be Harden left alone. He sees the writing on the wall. He doesn't want to be part of it.
Now, let's play this out, though. How do you think this team would play if they did have Ben Simmons and KD back and when Kyrie's available?
Think very well. Because, you know, Simmons plays great D. He's a good passer. He doesn't spread the floor as much because of the fact he doesn't give you spacing because he's not a good shooter.
But you're not asking him to shoot.
You're not asking him to shoot, and he can attack the basket. And he does not have the ball down the stretch like he did last year in Game 7 with the Sixers, and then was afraid to shoot afraid to drive because he didn't want to get to the line. He's not a good free throw shooter. Because down the stretch, it's going to be Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving who has the ball if you make this trade.
Exactly. And if he really can do what he does well, which is go to the hole, that should create looks for Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm. And you need Joe Harris back too. Joe Harris has been a big loss for them. Big a loss as Durant, but Joe Harris spaces the floor. He gives him a great three-point shooter.
Oh, no, that's hurt. That hurts.
Really hurts a lot, and people don't think it. Well, I saw on social media the other day, oh, yeah, they have 3 Hall of Famers, but they missed Joe Harris. Yeah, it's all part of the puzzle.
That's an ignorant statement because you need a guy like that. By the way, him not playing well was part of their problem in the Bucks series last year.
Yep, absolutely.
They missed his threes. So, guys, I of course, totally missed this because, you know, the NFL is a rumor between now and the Super Bowl. They already did the skills competition on TV.
It was last night. Yeah, it was last night.
I'm so sad I missed it. Micah Parsons won fastest man in the NFL. Let's hear from Micah.
Let's see. Can anybody beat Tyreek Hill?
Oh!
From a slow start for the fastest man of the world. And I think Micah without the shirt won.
Tyreek didn't even get down in the stands.
Oh, he will never hear the end of this.
So Micah ends up cruising, but afterwards was not willing to take credit for actually being the fastest man in the NFL, saying that Tyreek was not giving it his all. As we heard there. So,
but even if Tyreek's not giving it his all, a man of that size moving that fast shows you why he's special.
Oh, my God. His direct quote was, I know he isn't coming out here and playing his best. He just played a couple days ago. He's the fastest man in the league. I'm just happy to be here. But, guys, do you know how bad it's going to be for Giants fans and Washington fans dealing with Micah Parsons over the next 10 years?
Mm.
He's a nightmare. he's a real problem. Diggs, between Diggs and Parsons, I feel like they got generational talents at the exact same time on defense.
I'm not sure. I wouldn't say that Diggs is generational. He's really good at intercepting the ball, but you can throw on him a little bit.
He's got a good nose for the ball.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying he's generationally Darrell Revis, but a guy who has that much of a nose for the ball could be a serious problem.
Wow, I just dropped my glasses. That's
don't hurt yourself.
Don't ever do that.
Giants defensive coordinator Patrick Graham will interview with the Raiders in Las Vegas for the same position, according to reports. The Giants granted the Raiders permission to interview him after he was a finalist for the Vikings head coach job. But, of course, Minnesota went with Rams OC Kevin O'Connell. Their actual quote was, just send us a white guy. We'll hire him. We don't care. Have you watched football? Come on. Just kidding. And then we also learned that the Jacksonville deal is a wrap too, huh? Doug Peterson
takes his visor down to Jacksonville.
It is a tough look, the visor.
Never like visors. I mean, if you really want to anger me, put a visor on Curious George. Then I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm done.
Then you're done.
Oh, you're disgusted. You're dropping him right off at the Bronx Zoo. If you're joining the show late, by the way, today, Michael, in one of the most alarming things he's ever said on the program, suggested that if he were the man with the yellow hat, he would be fed up with Curious George's antics and would drop him off at the Bronx Zoo.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's not healthy to have a monkey living in an apartment, and he gets into too much trouble, too much shenanigans.
Ross did it. Your favorite.
Well, you know what? Ross was an idiot. Marcel should never have been, and you know what? They took him away.
Yeah, and they didn't want him on the show anymore.
His demands were huge.
Yeah, no one wanted to work with him. He was apparently a really bad guy to work with, Marcel. Former Dolphins coach Brian Flores said he believes, quote, back channel conversations and Bill Belichick's influence led him to not getting the Giants head coaching job. On Tuesday, of course, we know he filed his class action lawsuit in Manhattan. In an interview yesterday with our own Jay Williams on his NPR podcast, Flores claimed that the Patriots coach and the Giants are examples of corrupt hiring. Quote, I think there are back-channel conversations and back-channel meetings that are oftentimes influential on decisions. I think the Giants hiring process is a clear example of that. Bill Belichick is a clear example of that. His resume speaks to that. Hmm. This is interesting because, guys, up until now, did we have any indication that Flores was down on Belichick or just thought that he made a mistake in sending that text message?
Yeah, I don't know what he means when he's saying about Belichick. But what's he mean? That Belichick does back channel stuff? Also, why would the Giants listen to Bill Belichick? He told them that Joe Judge was a great hire.
Yeah, I mean, but I'll tell you what, they're not losing. You think Belichick is losing his stroke because of Joe Judge? He's still Bill Belichick.
No, he's still Bill Belichick, but, I mean, his coaching tree is not exactly Sean McVay's coaching tree. And Sean McVay's 38 years old. Bill Belichick's 70. So I'm just saying Bill Belichick's a great coach. Doesn't mean that the people who work under him aren't. But for Brian Flores to think that somebody might hire somebody at work with Bill Belichick and you're not going to check with the greatest coach on earth, that's being naive. Of course you will. You're going to call every place that he's worked. I'm sure they called Nick Saban.
But here's the thing I would suggest that makes me kind of raise an eyebrow at this idea, because it's in the sense that it sounds interesting to me. Just yesterday you were saying, Michael, Belichick knows everyone.
He does.
And talks to everyone. And Don, play this out with me. Based on what we know about the Patriots, I'm sorry, am I supposed to trust Belichick's like moral scruples? They do anything.
But
he's
what did he do that was immoral here?
I have no idea. But obviously Flores is suggesting that he wields his powers in ways that are unsavory. And what I'm just saying is, as an outsider who never liked the Patriots and thought they did everything in an unsavory fashion, that to me doesn't feel like a huge leap to hear. I know.
So you think he went back door to get Dable the job over Flores? He likes Flores too. Flores did a good job for him.
Well, how do we know?
But I don't know what Bill's motivation. Like, Bill, they might have asked Bill, who do you like? And he might have said, if it were up to me, it would be Dable. And maybe John Mara said, okay. And then Bill thought, all right, well, it looks like they're going to go with Dable. I better text him, let him know he's got the job, and accidentally text Flores.
Yeah, but think about it. That's getting right on the line of what the problem is in the first place. Bill Belichick making phone calls to strongly recommend one of his coaches who's up against another one of his coaches.
I don't have a problem.
And then knows early and calls the coach?
But we don't know think he that did that. How do we know John Mara didn't call him?
I don't think there's a problem at all. I mean, if somebody wanted to hire somebody at 98.7 and they called me and asked, is that wrong for me to tell my opinion?
No. That isolated? No, absolutely not. Obviously, all I'm saying is he's alleging unsavory things from Bill Belichick. I'm just saying, in the opinion of Peter Rosenberg only, I am certainly open to the idea that Bill Belichick would do unsavory things.
But the thing is that
Sorry.
Flores is under the assumption that he was a legitimate candidate, but they knew he was not. And he's got to prove that, because I do think it is believable that he was a legitimate candidate.
And of course. Yeah, I agree.
Didn't get the job. So, and then when they spoke to him, they had every intention of giving him the best shot possible. I don't know how he proves that.
Well,
again, we're talking
I.
about intent. Same thing with John Elway. How do you intent? Was it just jet lag or were they drunk? Was it they did everything they could to get to talk to him because they loved him so much, or they just didn't care and were drunk and just went through the motions? How do you prove that?
Peter, have you seen the meme that's going around? Everybody's showing pictures of Nick Nolte, who, you know, Nick Nolte looks a little unkempt these days.
Sure.
And they hit John Elway at the Flores interview.
That is pretty funny.
Which and he kind of looks like John Elway.
Oh, yeah, he does. The big chompers?
Yeah. Yes. I don't want a guy with a visor.
So, like, visors and veneers would be a bad combination for you, right?
Well, no. Normal size veneers. Some people go out of control with veneers.
So, I had a conversation about veneers the other day because it's one of the things I would consider doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm fine with my teeth, but I feel like it's an easy thing that you can do to make yourself much better looking on television in 2 seconds, right?
Yeah.
And then I realized what it entails. I'm out.
Wait, what does it entail?
Well, first of all, they shave your teeth down to the nub, which I did not know.
Those are caps. You're talking about caps.
That's what veneers are.
No. There's another thing that they just put a facing on your tooth that makes it whiter.
No. But I mean real veneers. When people really
They shave it down to a point.
Yeah, they shave your teeth. Did you know that, Don?
Yeah. I was. Somebody was trying to talk me into them.
Okay.
And I was like, no. Huh?
And was that the moment when you heard shave the teeth down to the nub?
Yeah, I was like, I don't. And they were like, listen, you're going to be on TV. You should do it. Because I had something happen where, like, one of my front, the front tooth died. So they had to do a root canal.
Oh, no.
Sad.
And so they're like, this could be an opportunity. And I'm like, no, this does not sound good. And I kept thinking about something about Mary.
So what'd you do with the dead tooth?
Well, they were able to. they worked around it.
So what's there now?
Well, it's a tooth.
It's not your real tooth.
No. Well, they hollowed. Right. They did a bunch of stuff to get it to work.
Right. So you did one.
Yeah.
You have one fake tooth.
But Peter, I'm telling you, you're wrong about veneers. Veneers are not caps. You're wrong.
Okay. But when someone in Hollywood all of a sudden has beautiful teeth.
Right.
I'm talking about that.
Like Rex Ryan. Rex has beautiful teeth.
And my guess is Rex probably had them completely taken out. His teeth were shaved down, and he now has teeth that are not his implanted. And it's a super, like, it's a real surgery that takes a couple weeks to recover from. Like, you have to be super mindful. And, by the way, then you also have to sleep with a retainer for the rest of your life with a thing to protect them. And then on top of that, every, like, 10 to 12 years, you have to go do it again.
I have never looked at your teeth and said, hideous, he's got to have them changed. I don't even know why you're thinking about it.
Yeah,
no.
What's the matter with you?
No, my teeth are fine. But it's like, it's one of those things that when you see someone, when they get the teeth done and it's beautiful, you just go, wow, my goodness.
Don't try to be like Hollywood people. They're all fake. They have face fillers, the whole deal. Don't imitate
them. Well, that's
them.
What I'm saying.
That's unreal.
I don't, I don't think I'd ever do. I mean, listen, I've also considered wanting to do Botox for these lines on my forehead.
Oh, oh my God, Peter, will you stop yourself?
Well, look at them. If you start staring at them, guys, you'll never stop. There are thousands of viewers now. They're only going to see these lines now that I mentioned.
It's called age.
Yeah, and you're great.
No, I've had these.
It's working out great for you.
Really?
Stop it.
I've had these forever. Since it predates age.
Don't
By the way,
be a facsimile of Peter. Be Peter.
You already want me to be a facsimile if I lose the contest.
Not a facsimile. We think it'll be better. I think the Gallagher look will work with you.
By the way, the voting is at this point, I don't know if it's done yet, but Andrew, it's over, right? It was a landslide. People want to see Don's haircut more than the pelting.
Yeah, I think it was 76% want Don to cut the mullet.
So,
oh, by the way, it wasn't Nick Nolte. A lot of people said it was Gary Busey. But I think Nick Nolte they were using too.
Well, yeah, Busey has he has gigantic jumpers for sure.
A little too big.
Now, no one shows up to get veneers and goes, "Give me the Buseys." I haven't heard
again,
that
again. You're wrong about veneers. Somebody gave you,
but Michael.
Veneers
I'm not.
Are
Michael, I'm not.
No,
I'm not
no.
wrong. Whatever you're
Look.
Saying is not when people say they got veneers.
Okay,
don't
Here
go play
is.
The literal
this,
game with
this
me.
Is, no, this is not.
This
no,
is
not
what
the
it
literal
is.
Game. You're wrong.
When
in,
people
in
say
Wikipedia,
someone...
in dentistry, okay. a veneer is a layer of material placed over a tooth. Veneers can improve the aesthetics of a smile and protect the tooth surface from damage. A cap is while they file your teeth down, and they put an artificial tooth, then they cement it onto the pointed
right.
tooth that's left over. A veneer is not that.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is, and again, this was about being literal, in popular culture in the world that we live in 2022, when someone shows up with beautiful new white caps covering all their teeth and a new smile, the language is they got veneers. That's
Peter.
You may be, Michael, you may be right, but I am telling you, as God is my witness, that is what
Don't
people say.
Don't let God be your witness. He'll strike you down because I am telling you, I'm not even being Captain Literal Man. I'm helping you out here. They're two completely different procedures.
I understand that. Mike Don, can you help me?
It sounds like veneers are like bath fitter.
Right.
Right.
But what I'm saying is that language is what people say
right.
when they get new teeth.
Well, the people
they got
that
veneers.
You're hanging around with are morons.
Okay,
they're not
cool.
veneers.
It's the only thing I've ever heard. No one says they got caps. People say they got veneers.
Hey, listen, Michael, you have a brother-in-law who's a dentist. Get him on. End it
yeah,
now.
Yeah. And by the way, though, but we need to be clear about the question, Don. I'm not saying Michael's wrong. I'm saying the terminology that people use in common vernacular. God. You and your
God,
language policing.
We get into semantic wars.
Oh, my God.
This isn't even a semantic war. It's
yes,
like
it
it's like saying changing your oil or putting in a transmission. They're two completely different things.
Now, that's just a bad example of even saying what the difference is.
Oh.
Because it would be like saying... because it's the exact same purpose with a different method. So it's not what you just said. You just said two different things completely.
No,
that was embarrassing.
It's not the exact same purpose, okay? Because a veneer, if you have crooked teeth, it stays crooked. They're just whiter. If you get caps, they straighten the whole thing out.
Somebody please drop the mic immediately.
Oh!
I don't care who wins.
Oh, stop!
So
I mean, we've had a lot of wacky ways to lose clock integrity. This is an interesting one.
All right. So look up porcelain veneers, Michael, and then tell me what porcelain veneers are. That's what I want to know from you. That'll do it for ENN, brought to you by Hennessy. Enjoy a delicious Hennessy NBA cocktail while watching the game. Try the Hennessy Playmaker or the Hennessy Triple Double, both made with Hennessy VS. Visit Hennessy.com for drink recipes. Hennessy, spirit of the NBA. Always enjoy Hennessy responsibly.
The thing is, porcelain veneers are the same thing. And it's also called bonding. Yours is called the cap.
You're talking about lumineers, I'm being told.
Whoever is telling you that is an idiot. My brother-in-law is a dentist.
Rosenberg Radio, you're right. Kay is wrong. And then they sent an article under it from the internet, which you know is true. For traditional composite and porcelain veneers, your dentist will shave down your enamel.
Your enamel, not to a point. They actually put tiny little holes in your tooth, and then the veneer bonds to the tooth. You couldn't be more wrong, and I couldn't be more certain that you're wrong.
So you say whatever you want. When people in my world go, that person got veneers, it means they got their teeth replaced.
Well,
that's
then
what
you know
saying.
What? Here's the deal. Get out of that world.
Yeah, because this matters. Because I don't want to associate with anyone who uses the word veneer that cavalierly.
Yeah, exactly.
You're so sick.
That's kind of loud and irritating.
Let's take a brief time out. Please call us in. Call into us, and we don't want to get into a veneer discussion
no.
because I know I'm right, and I don't need to have backing.
And okay.
Four out of five dentists, and the one idiot that doesn't recommend Trident, maybe he agrees with Peter. Four out of five dentists will tell you that I'm speaking the truth. We'll be back in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.